Yes, Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, is with us every Thursday, a little bit earlier today to accommodate his schedule, but he's accommodated ours in the past. So we work together as a team to bring you the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Brian, how's it going today, man?
Going great, Wade. How are you?
I'm doing good. Man, I tell you, why don't we just go ahead and give the national championship to the Jayhawks? I mean, they're unstoppable, right? I mean, offensively, they have been just so good the last few games. They make it look easy to where the opposing coach says, we're riding on roller skates or ice skates, and KU, it's as if they're in sneakers. It's pretty amazing what they've been doing offensively.
Yeah, Coach Kowalczyk said that's the best team he's seen in the last 50 years. So that's pretty high praise. I don't think you could have two more tweet-worthy quotes by the opposing head coach than those two right there. Clearly, Kansas has been otherworldly at home of late, and it's so funny because I remember coming on with you a couple of weeks ago after they grinded one out, 65-61, and you made the very astute observation that I then repeated back to Coach off the air later in the week. I said, you know, I was talking to one of our affiliates out in Glen Elder, Beloit, and Wade Gerstner made a great point about that 65-61 win where a lot of fans were criticizing KU's offense. Wade said, if you win like that in the tournament, everybody thinks, wow, greatest win ever. You hunkered down, got stops defensively, made it happen. And he thought that was a great analogy. And he's like, I just can't believe people are so worried about our offense after one game. Well, look at the offense now.
Yeah.
How do you like me now? As they like to say, look at Devontae Graham now, a guy that was scoring just 12 points a game, prior to Tuesday night's 35-point output. He was shooting 35% prior to that one, but he erupts to 23 in the first half. He was on pace for Bud Stallworth numbers had they not rested him with about 8 minutes to go. So he was very, very impressive. And this entire offense has been. I mean, we've seen Spee and Gerald take their games to the next level in terms of offensive assertiveness and effectiveness. And now Malik Newman is starting to score at a higher clip than what we saw the first couple of weeks, and really more in line with what I thought we'd see out of him, which I told you all along last year, I thought he'd be a 15 or 16 point a game type guy, and I still think he can get there, the preseason Big 12 newcomer of the year. So a lot to like offensively, but as Coach pointed out in that clip you just played, competition's about to get tougher and longer. And when this team struggled versus Kentucky, that was a team with six players with a wingspan of 7+, and it was tougher to get some of those shots up around the goal, 10 feet in. I mean, they were just so long and contested everything. And with Syracuse's 2-3 zone, they got guards at the front end of that zone that are 6'5", 6'6". So when they stand side by side and stretch their arms out, they can certainly cover a lot of floor.
Well, and Coach Self has said it many times before about, you know, teams look a lot better when you're making shots. And when you're red hot and you're making everything, you're probably not as good as you may look. And then there's times where you get good looks and you can't knock anything down and you're not as bad as you may look. There's kind of that happy in between, the happy medium. And when I watch KU, one thing I like is they move the ball really well. They're unselfish. They move the ball. And I think one of the things that I know Coach Self has talked to you about and listening to you guys discuss this is, you know, you want to get some more post touches. You don't rely on the outside game too much because it can dry up in a hurry. And the development of Azubuike, I mean, he's just getting better with each and every day and each and every game, isn't he?
He is. And, you know, we expected he'd be really good this year, but I honestly thought there'd be more growing pains because dude only played in the third of the season a year ago. And when you lose that much time and you're only 3.5 years into playing organized basketball to begin with, and he's still pretty raw, I didn't know what to expect. And, you know, it's not like he's a finished product by any means because clearly he's still only shooting about 42% from the free throw line, and that's going to be an issue as we get deeper into the season and we're in tighter games, and can you trust him to be on the floor late if they're just going to poke a doke or hack a shack or whatever? He's got a ways to go there. Bill Self wants him to be more of a beast on the defensive glass. Defensively, I think he's made nice strides. But obviously, offensively, he's shown great touch around the rim. He's shown, you know, the ability to dunk it with emphasis more times than not. He's got 22 dunks on the year already. And he's a guy that, you know, has good hands, better than I thought he had, quite frankly. And so they can lob it up to him when he gets these deep catches. I mean, I'll ask you later, are you going to get in the way of that? I'm not.
Yeah.
So, you know, he just punishes the rim at that point. And if he could just find a way to shoot about 60% from the strike, ripe. Think of all the and ones he could get. You know, think of everything else they could do. And so that's part of the work in progress with Doak. But, man, he's made such terrific strides. It has you really excited about what his future could look like, not just here at Kansas, but beyond.
Seven-player rotation right now, and Coach Self has to do that with the lack of the numbers. Can you update us on the depth situation? It should get a little deeper after semester break, and is there anything new with Billy Preston?
Yeah, nothing new as of 9:20 this morning, but unless something happened overnight, there was nothing new yesterday. We'll talk to Coach with the media here later today around noon, but not anticipating any major movement anytime immediate here. But Coach did tell me earlier this week off the air he remains optimistic on the Billy Preston front. So that's obviously, something that, we're holding out hope for. Silvio D'Souza is the five-star big man that is just trying to get a test score to qualify and graduate early. And if so, he could be here around Christmas time. What a package under the tree. Silvio D'Souza to unwrap a five-star center, that'd be amazing. And then, obviously the guy we know for sure we're getting just back after the game against his former school. How perfect would it have been if Arizona State was Sam Cunliffe's first game back, but he's actually going to come back to the Nebraska game. But that's a top 40 wing. And, it's great to get another wing, but it's not what Kansas needs right now. And so, he's a guy that will help this team, absolutely. And he's helping them every day in practice because he's a great athlete. And I think next year, he'll really have a bigger role. I think it's going to be challenging for him in this particular guard rotation when you're talking about 1 through 5 being as good as Kansas is and that fifth man being Marcus Garrett in terms of the wing rotation. He's been so good. I mean, 2 double-doubles already. You can't shake a stick or bat an eye at any of that. So I think when the first 4 guards comprise maybe the best backcourt in America and then you add in Garrett, Cunliffe's going to be hard-pressed to get major minutes, but it is nice to have the depth, that's for sure.
No doubt. Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks with us, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them 738-5701. All right, the matchup against Syracuse, you alluded to it a little bit. I haven't been following Syracuse very closely. Of course, you mentioned the 2-3 zone, the link that they have. Are there any other issues that KU is going to have to deal with besides that big zone?
I think Battle's a great scorer, and I think that you look at it probably got 2 or 3 different options. They're all averaging between 15 and 20 a game that could catch fire and make this thing interesting. And at the same time, it's not one of Boeheim's better teams. They're still young in certain spots. I just feel like the athleticism differential compared to, some of the other teams we've seen recently, the length, all that, is going to be imposing. Not on a Kentucky level, but more so than what you'd see with Texas Southern, obviously, or Tennessee State or something like that. And they're 5-0. They just beat Maryland, look good in the process. They're exceeding expectations in the minds of some. But if you want to compare opponents, they beat Oakland by just 8. And Toledo, a team that hung tucks with them, too. And so I feel like it's a Syracuse team that if Kansas comes out and performs anywhere close to what we've seen of late, and they're not going to score 100 points like they have been against this zone, unless they're just zone-busting in threes from left and right. But if they come out with that type of confidence offensively, I think Kansas does win this game, and I think they win this game with some separation down the stretch. You don't count your chickens or your Jayhawks before they hatch or take anything for granted in that regard, but I feel like this is a matchup that favors Kansas in a lot of spots, but it's a Hall of Fame head coach. It's still a roster that has numerous top 100 recruits on it. And so I think Kansas, in a big-time atmosphere like that, it's going to be a lot of fun to see how they perform. And hopefully it's another notch on the belt in a non-conference schedule. It's funny, it's been criticized by some because, not every year can you open with Indiana, then play Duke in the Garden and all that. But look at it, Wade. I mean, you already beat a top-5 team in Kentucky.
Yep.
Texas A&M is going to wind up being a top-10 team. They're 10th and 1.9th of the other right now. That one doesn't come up until late January. And you just got that kind of stretch of 4-3 games against teams picked to win their respective leagues. And they can all be NCAA tournament teams if that happens. And I think some of these other games, like Nebraska, is going to be better than you realize. And, we'll see about the Pac-12 schools, Stanford and Washington, and what you get out of those. But I think especially out there in the Sacramento Kings arena against Stanford, that's going to be a challenging game against Jared Haas and company. So It's I think, an ideal schedule, quite frankly, because you've got a couple of top 10 matchups. You've got a lot of teams picked to win their league that's going to help your RPI, and yet you're not overwhelming yourself in the first part of the season where you haven't replaced the National Player of the Year and the number four pick in the draft. So to me, I think you got plenty of brand names on there, and I think you got a healthy mix of the type of opponents that make you better and the varying styles like this, you know, 2-3 zone and the different looks that Jim Boeheim will throw at you. It's going to make you, you know, better come tournament time when you have to go up potentially six different styles back to back to back.
No, I agree with you. And then Arizona State, you mentioned them earlier, but that's a team that whipped Xavier out in Vegas. So that's not going to be an easy battle, although it will be at Allen Fieldhouse. But that's a team that's very talented. And then let's look really ahead here. KU and Villanova announcing a series that'll begin next year. Tell us about that. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, no doubt. I know Coach Self really has a lot of respect for Jay Wright, and obviously he's on a Hall of Fame path of his own right now with the success he's enjoyed up there. And that's a series where we'll get to get them in our house and go up to Philadelphia second, and they'll play in an NBA arena on the return trip. I want to see a game up there at the Palestra, but they sell a lot of tickets when they bring in a team like Kansas. So that'll be neat. And, you know, they're top four in the country right now, too. And Coach Self on Hot Talk the other night said, you know, they'll probably bring most everybody back next year. So for Kansas, on the front end of that home-and-home, man, that's going to be a stiff challenge, even with everything that Kansas will have next year. When you start thinking about what KU could look like next season, not to get ahead of ourselves, but you know, you've got all these transfers sitting out this year. The Lawson brothers, Charlie Moore, will get one semester out of Sam Cunliffe. If you're going to add in four five-star recruits or three five-star, one four-star, depending on which set of rankings you look at. And it'll be just be interesting to see, is Vic back? You know, what about Newman? That kind of thing. But it's going to be a very different-looking Kansas team. But so I think that Villanova game is going to be one you circle and say, wow, that may be a huge barometer when you look at how we judge this Kansas team as they transition in life after Devonta.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, they're fun to watch right now. They're making shots, but we know that KU can win a grinded-out game like they did against Kentucky. They can outscore you and are going to get some help on the way. Hopefully, Preston will be available at some point this year, and you mentioned Cunliffe, and maybe there's some help on the way after the semester break. Brian, time for off-the-wall question for you. Yesterday, I was coming into work. I avoided one deer, but the second deer ran into the backside of my pickup truck. So I would say technically I didn't run into the deer. The deer ran into my truck. Have you ever run over or hit an animal or an animal hit your vehicle to do any damage?
It has happened, yes. Well, first off, how is the deer? Is he okay? Did he bounce off?
I don't think the deer made it through, no.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
I'm one of those softies, man. If I hit even a squirrel, I'm like shaking out for at least half an hour. Not to the point where I'm like uncontrollably sobbing, but I'm like, damn, that stinks.
Yeah.
So, yes, the answer to the question is yes, and it's actually a funny story. I was with a girlfriend driving a rental car, heading home to meet her family for the first time, and she was driving my rental, and we get clipped by the deer. And then, you know, I had to fall on the sword and say it was me. Gosh, I should get me this on live radio. But, you know, so my rates go up. I have to pay for, you know, the insurance hike and all that. And the stinking deer just came out of nowhere. But in our case, we were lucky. He, like, bounced off of us and, you know, I think lived to tell about it. But it was amazing we stayed together through that. It's one of those, you know, deals where you get some drama early in the relationship, and how do you handle it? Maybe it brings you closer, maybe it pushes you apart. In this case, we wound up dating for another couple of years, so the deer door ding didn't do us in.
I wonder if that was a deal breaker or messed up the relationship, but you answered my question before I could even ask it, so I'm glad that you did that with the follow-up. Outstanding. Well, hey, man, have fun going to Miami. That's a rough gig. So, somehow, push through the obstacles you're going to have to deal with in beautiful Miami. And think about us back here where it's a little bit cooler. And then, of course, Sprint Center next Wednesday against Washington. And we'll talk about those two games with you next Thursday.
Yeah, to finish that story, I mean, how could she break up with me after I took the fall?
You're no kidding. She should have married you on the spot.
But, yes, we will have fun in Miami, and it's a really quick trip. You know, we're going there for about 27 hours. So Greg and I's plans go out on South Beach, party with Neil Smith, party in the city where the heat is on all night on the break of dawn. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we will try and come back with a win, my man.
That sounds good, buddy. Take care, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Sounds good, Wade. See ya.
See ya. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, right here on KD Country 94 in the Sports Ticket. Brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt Michelle, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.